McDavid is out of the Stanley Cup playoffs, he may have heard, Barker. So McJesus, as he's referred to.
Yeah.
He gone.
There you go.
He gone. But that's not why we played the Hallelujah chorus.
That's not why.
Because this is Baseball Central. Right?
Yeah.
What would you call Alek Manoah? Manjesus?
I'm guessing Manjesus? That's what you're going with. Yes.
No, there you go. Alek Manoah. Alek Manoah. All right, enough. That's good. Thank you for that. Alek Manoah, Mr. Barker. I don't even need to say anything else. That's Alek Manoah, all is
the
answered.
Savior.
It's done.
It is.
You know what? I checked in the refrigerator today. I had a nice salmon steak out.
Right.
Three of them. Fishes are multiplying.
Wow.
Fishes are multiplying. That wasn't Jesus that did that, was it?
Maybe.
I can't remember my Bible all that much.
No.
The news, in case you haven't heard it, Alek Manoah. Damn. Can you do it now? Thank you. Alek Manoah, Mr. Barker.
Yeah.
Is being called up by the Toronto Blue Jays.
No, really?
Well, apparently, our friend Ken Rosenthal reported yesterday that Alek Manoah would, in fact, be called up to pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays. Wednesday, we believe, at Yankee Stadium against the New York Yankees. Now, this is all top secret. We reached out to a whole bunch of Blue Jays folks to try to get Alek Manoah on. Jeff Ware, the AAA pitching coach, Pete Walker. Yeah, I could see why Pete Walker might be avoiding things today. But Pete Walker, anybody, we said, can anybody come on and confirm this?
Nobody was biting.
Nobody's biting. So, Mr. Barker, Alek Manoah is going to start at Yankee Stadium, apparently.
Yeah, that's the word.
Is this good or bad?
It ain't bad. Who else would you rather see?
Good point.
I mean, they can call up Anthony Kay again and maybe let him start. Look, we've heard so much about Alek. It's time to see it.
We've heard so much about who?
Alek.
He is going to answer every question. He's going to win the Cy Young Award, the Rookie of the Year, MVP.
The big question is,
yes,
when he goes out of the game,
yes,
then who pitches? pitches then?
That's the sound of the balloon bursting.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's all right. Now, in case you're wondering what we're making a big deal about, apparently, Alek Manoah has been called up by the Blue Jays and is likely going to pitch on Wednesday. All kidding aside.
That's it,
huh? Well, no, we can, you know what I mean.
Right.
We saw what happened this weekend in Tampa. This is a team that's lost six games in a row. They got Steven Matz pitching tonight against Corey Kluber. All Kluber did his last game was pitch a no-hitter.
Yeah.
If you got any candles left from, I don't know, Anthony Kay's last start, you may want to light them up,
keeping
them
in
religious
in Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
Since 2016, he pitched 2016, 2018, and 2020.
With the Mets.
Two starts and a game out of the pen.
Yes, sir.
8.25 ERA, 12 innings pitched, 15 hits, 11 earnings.
Okay.
Now, some would say that's not real good.
Mm.
But it is a different Steven Matz.
It is a different Steven Matz. And look, this team wasn't going, the bullpen ERAs were not going, they were unsustainable. The bullpen, listen, bullpen did a great job out of the gate until it lost Ryan Baraki, Julian Merriweather,
David Phelps.
And I think we really underplayed David Phelps. Oh yeah. And remember, I mentioned Tommy Malone. I just got to throw Tommy Malone's out there.
Yeah.
Tommy Malone's name.
Might as well.
I would have put Tommy Malone would have. No, he wouldn't have necessarily convinced anything. But this coming off a weekend, Mr. Barker, where the Blue Jays, we mentioned they've lost six in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, did we say who they're sending out to the mound on Wednesday? Alek Manoah. Six in a row. They lost yesterday 14-8, 6-4, 3-1, 9-7. This is the bullpen. The bullpen's ERA, and I'm going back because this thing started. They beat Boston 8-0 on May 18th. They were 23-17. They were five games back. Then they lost 7-3 to the Red Sox. Right? So this is, 7-3, 8-7, the Red Sox. Since that win, since beating Boston 8-0, the bullpen's ERA is 6.46. That includes, I'm throwing Ross Stripling seven innings in yesterday because it came out of the bullpen.
Really good.
After one inning from Trent Thornton. So here's the thing. We saw what the Tampa Bay Rays did ahead of this series. And they talked about it. They're loaded at shortstop. They went out and they brought in a good arm for a big series, J.P. Feireisen.
Yeah.
A good arm for a big series. Had an impact in this series.
Sure did.
They traded Willy Adames. They still got their uber prospect, Wander Franco. In the meantime, they've got a guy in Tyler Walls who, you know, is
picking it and grinning it.
Exactly.
That's basically why they called him up.
But here's the point. Alek Manoah, if he comes up and is really good, that's going to help big time.
Not going to hurt.
But you know what else is going to help big time? Is if Thomas Hatch follows him up and can also contribute. Like, it's not, I guess what I'm saying is it's not just necessarily going to be one arm. It would be one arm making a big difference if you were absolutely convinced that Steven Matson, whoever's pitching in the fifth spot, is going to give you something. It's going to be, you're right. I'd rather have him pitching than Anthony Kay or anybody else. But I guess what I'm saying is to really address some of these bullpen issues, you know what I want him to do?
What?
I want him to give me five real good innings at Yankee Stadium. I'm not looking at strikeout. I'm not looking at anything. Give me five innings, maybe three punch outs. Just, you know.
Three punch outs.
Three punch outs, three hits. Keep the lid on. You know, don't crap the bed. Just keep the lid on and then turn it over to the bullpen.
Yeah, you know the Jays.
People are expecting him, Bark, to come out.
Well, of course they are. It's like Nate Pearson. You're right. Nate Pearson, whenever he got called up, they thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and he was expected to strike out 10 every time he went out. I, you know what the Jays pitchers did in the four games against the Rays? They walked 25 batters. That's what I don't want to see.
Yeah.
That's all they talked about in the offseason is how good that was.
And it was good early
in
the year.
It was really good. And they also walked in four runs.
Yep.
So that's something they got to clean up. You know the Rays struck out 45 times in four games.
I told you this. This isn't the little engine that couldn't anymore. The Rays are like every other team in baseball. They're going to hit home runs and they're going to strike out.
That's it.
There's not a little funky little going to bunt and squeeze and move guys. No, that's not the Rays. The Rays just rip it. They just rip it. Grip it and rip it. That's all they do. Sometimes they hit home runs. Sometimes they strike out.
So what realistically you think we can get from Alek Manoah? He's got 35 innings in minor leagues. That doesn't even matter. He's 23 years old. Does that even matter?
I don't think it matters.
Who cares?
I don't think it matters. I don't think it'll be a full Yankee Stadium. I don't think they're
18,000. I saw.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I mean, the one person that might affect is the guy throwing tonight, and Steven Matz. You know, they've seen Steven Matz.
I will say this: I would be more concerned about Steven Matz on the mound. Now, Alek Manoah doesn't concern me, but again, as long as we go into this understanding that. I hope the guy's lights out. I mean, I hope he comes out and just dominates.
Yeah.
But really what I want more than anything else is five innings. The worst thing that could happen is for this guy to come out and not be efficient and labor through two and a thirds or two and two thirds. And now we just got
pie amps. And
you know what? With all due respect, Anthony Kay can give me two and two thirds.
He sure can. Well said.
I mean, he can. So... Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're bringing him up. I hope he stays up.
Yeah, for their organization's sake, with what's going on with Nate Pearson, you hope they don't have a couple of setbacks.
They need an internal shot in the arm.
All we talked about is how good those two pitchers are, and then they both come up and are not real good. That will be a slap in the face. So you hope he comes up. You know, he's got a couple fastballs, the sinker, the four-seamer. I did watch a little video. We can't come on here and say that we've watched him live. We haven't.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really seen him pitch. I have seen some video of him on YouTube, and I watched him when he pitched in West Virginia. He throws a lot of balls down the middle. He's a very vertical guy, up and down. It's not real side to side. You know, can he do that in Yankee Stadium? Can he do that in the American League East? Can he do that you know, to any big league team in baseball? That's a question, right? It's me against you. Can he throw his best pitch in the middle of the plate and get swing and misses? Slider's not great. His changeup's not great. So that's
– yeah.
That's something that'll be an interesting thing. I do know he's got moxie and confidence. He's a little cocky, which, you know, you need that. If you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? But it'll be an interesting thing to see. You know, again, you see the short porch right in Yankee Stadium, right? Will he be one of those guys that says, okay, I can't throw it and have him hit it over there, so I got to adjust and do something else? How many 23-year-olds making their debut knows how to do that? So that'll be another little thing, but who cares where he's starting out at? You know, everybody's saying, is this the right time to do it? Sure it is. You think he's a big leaguer? Mm. It's his turn to pitch. Throw him in there.
We're going to have a lot of fun, by the way, today in this show as well. Eric Kratz is going to join us at 2:40.
Huh?
He's a multimedia star now.
Is Kratz, he really?
Well, he's caught for 1,000 teams. He caught for – you played winter ball with him.
I did a bunch. Yep. I carried most of these kids to the park.
There, how many? 12 kids?
He's got enough.
Yeah.
Let's say that. There's enough.
Anyhow, it's one of our favorites. We used to love having him on. He's a guy that, you know, when you look at guys, you go, damn, that guy had a good career.
He had a
good career. He was a solid guy. He's like a Sal Fasano, like just a solid guy.
Put the finger down, throw some guys out, be a big target behind the dish, get some pitchers through starts that probably shouldn't have got through starts.
And every now and then you run into one.
And every once in a while you back leg city somebody.
Anyhow, we're looking forward to it'll be a lot of fun. As we said, he's making his transition into.
We'll ask him how it is to catch a guy on his first start in the big leagues. I'm sure he's done.
I'm sure he's probably caught a couple of hundred. We got an interesting little item at the tail end of the show. We're going to trot out about Bo Bichette and how the Tampa Bay Rays basically kicked his ass.
Yeah, I'm not sure that has anything to do with the Rays. I think that's more
okay.
That's
we'll,
more him.
We'll talk about that's that. Unique. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And conversely, Bo hits pretty well against the Yankees and at Yankee Stadium. He seems to like small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to like hitting
right
at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So we will talk about that later on. But again, the big news: Alek Manoah is going to start Wednesday against the. You caught me that time. I'm running the ship here.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Since when?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
That's a new one.
You do that one more time, and we're going to have Barker's Euro 2022 picks or Euro 2021 picks.
Hey, I'm a big man. You can't really make me do anything I don't want to do, okay? Let's just understand that.
I would love to do
the,
Euro 2021 picks.
The only person that can do
picks.
That to me, she's at home listening right now.
Yeah, there we go. Blast from the past. By the way, you know the song we used to play?
Right.
For the Bundesliga,
no,
Barker's Bundesliga picks.
I forgot.
Well, it was a song about Gerd Müller, who was Der Bomber, as he was called. He was
the
legendary German goals. Robert Lewandowski broke his single season record this year.
Oh,
Bundesliga record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you mad or excited about that?
I'm mad because he's my favorite German. He had thighs. If you put our four thighs together, and you know that's saying a lot because I got big thighs. If you put our four thighs together, we might come up with one of his thighs. He was like a freak of nature.
Okay, cool.
You would love him.
Would I?
He was a bit of a, you would love him.
All right. I'll take your word for
Anyhow, enough of that. Enough of that. We've got way more important stuff to talk about. We're now, Alek Manoah's on the clock, right? His next start is what? 48 out, 24, 7, no, 6, 5. Alek Manoah, we are what would you, what are we? We are 29 hours away from Alek Manoah.
7:07 start, right?
Well, maybe I'm wrong here. Let's see, 2:15. So that's 24 to 2:15. There's a lot of odd numbers. There's a lot of crooked numbers here. I only do time when it's like round numbers. It's a little easier. The crooked numbers thing confuses me.
Mm.
Who, after this weekend, looking ahead to the series against the Yankees, which, by the way, starts tonight with Steven Matz on the mound, and tomorrow night it will be Alek Manoah on the mound for the Blue Jays.
You are the
Robbie
boss
Ray
of this
goes,
show, for sure.
Robbie Ray goes the... third
day. Yeah.
All right. We've seen this bullpen come out of Tampa tattered.
Yeah.
I don't know if there'll be any other moves made. I think they have to make. Do they have to make a 40-man roster?
I think
move?
So. Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about the relievers here. Travis Bergen.
Who?
Travis
talk
Bergen.
About the three guys that matter.
No, but what I'm getting here's where I'm going with this. You don't want to see Travis Bergen again.
No.
Okay.
How do you walk three guys in and still in the big leagues?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you know the answer to that.
I'm sure analytics. I'm sure there was some sort of real neat spin on his pitches or something like that. All right, so you don't want to talk about the other guys, but again,
Pyamps, I like Pyamps.
Okay,
you
I was going
to
say
in the right spots. You don't, yep. You know, flipping the breaking ball to Brett Phillips in the 10th inning with the bases loaded. Look, he released it and was running off the field when the umpire. I mean, it's pretty cool. You got to admit, it's pretty cool. But I don't mind him.
He's got major cojones.
Big ones.
He has got.
Like bigger than most. Got, if you do that, it better
he has
work.
Got, yeah.
To Brett Phillips.
Yeah.
That's like throwing a breaking ball to me with the bases. So you better be real sure that you can throw that for a strike.
I'm with you. I have no problem. There's a reason those two organizations went back and forth with him, the Reds.
Yeah,
the Red
I got to say, the clock's ticking on Tim Mesa, too.
Okay. Like,
I'm a big fan of Tim Mesa, and I know the Tommy John and what he's coming back from and the peaks and valleys when it comes to all that and what you have to get through routine-wise. But, look, it's put up or shut-up time, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of what this has come down to. So your big three guys. Talk about your big three guys. That would be Dolis. That would be
Romano
Chatwood.
And Chatwood.
Yeah. When do you use them? How much do you use them? That's the question. And can you go to Jordan Romano after 12 pitches and 9 strikes and say, hey, we're not very good, if you've noticed, but you were really good there. With the 12 pitches, give our offense a chance. If you run out there in the 10th inning, because you are throwing 99 easy,
and look,
12
dude,
pitches, 9 strikes.
We
strike.
Know.
I need you one more time. Run out there and give it to me.
We
I know
you're walking. You're walking around the bullpen since the 5th inning. Anyhow, you might as well do some work.
How about it?
Get your ass out there.
You
Come
got
on.
Paid for 12
Pitter
pitches.
Patter, let's get at
you
it.
You can't give me another 15 pitches.
Mm.
We get out of that. We win this game. You know, and we joked around this a little bit yesterday about the Tyler Chatwood and the manager walking out, and I said to you.
Yes, you did. I don't know what you're going to say, but I know you did.
I said that at least give the guy a chance to argue his way to stay in the game. As soon as you saw Tyler Chatwood and he saw Charlie walking out and he got about the line and you could read his lips and he said, stop. And then Charlie walked out and held his hand out to get the ball. Didn't even basically talk to him. And Tyler Chatwood took a little peek in the bullpen and saw Travis Bergen. And then the ears went basically, you know, sideways and up and down. And he's yelling and screaming. Yeah, and you didn't even give him a chance to say, look, like, you know, Charlie could at least went out there and go, I know you threw 22 pitches. I know you only threw 9 strikes, but you're my best reliever. Talk me out of bringing this guy in. I don't really want to bring him in. I know the guy on the undexer can't hit a lefty, but I'd rather leave you in. You're a sinker away. He didn't even give him a chance. And I got to admit, I really don't understand that. I get it that it's the binder and that's what it says. And Charlie'd rather be doing that in the big leagues than he would be riding buses to AAA. But there's got to be one of those times where, really? This is who I'm going to break this up with is Travis Bergen.
I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We've got Eric Kratz at 2:40. So, because I want to give Kratz a lot of time, let's break now. I'll come back and I'll tell Barker something. You're not going to want to miss this. By the way, did we mention who's pitching Wednesday?
Hallelujah.
It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. As always, 590 is a text line. You can reach out to us. Do not forget, tomorrow is walk-off Wednesday.
Oh,
it may not. It can't be walk-off Wednesday.
Why?
You know why it can't be walk-off Wednesday tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Manoa Day.
Oh, yeah. It's a holiday.
Is
it a holiday?
It's Menjesus Day. Menjesus. You know, the Connor McDavid thing? Here's something for you, by the way.
Talk to me.
Brunt mentioned this on Friday. I'm going to ask Deitch about this on Writer's Block. Connor McDavid, Canada's Mike Trout?
1,000%.
There you go. We'll move on. Don't say any more because I want to give Deitch something to talk about.
Okay.
Out of the gate. I mentioned that I was going to tell you something.
What is it?
Before the break. I completely forgot. I completely forgot. No,
manager.
Manager, yeah. Well, back in the day, I'm not going to say which of the managers I covered.
Montreal?
Did that. No. Anyhow. Anybody who knows some of the managers, you're a dick. Anybody who knows some of the managers.
You can't say that on the radio.
I just did. The point being, said manager, when questioned by those of us in the media about why he used his bullpen the way he did, said, well, I could talk to my general manager and tell him that he's given me a pile of in the bullpen. Or I can basically send guys out there and go, huh, see?
Yeah, I'm showing you it's a pile of.
See? Huh?
Yeah, all right.
See this guy here? Look, see? You gave me this guy. Look at this. Look at this guy. We're paying him. Look at this. I don't think Charlie would necessarily. He wouldn't do that, would he? Would he, you know, like Travis Bergen?
You'd have to ask Charlie that. Would he tell you if you ask him?
No. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. I would do it if I was a man.
You
but
would?
It's different now, right? It's different because everything's collaborative. I would like to know. This is, and you would never know from Charlie Montoya, but wouldn't you be fascinated to know how many decisions he's made that were gut calls with the bullpen? That were
none.
Him.
None.
Him.
None. It's matchups. Why is this guy throwing the ninth inning? It's right. Matchup. Why is this guy throwing in the seventh inning? He's your best bullpen arm. Matchups. There's zero. The binder.
Look. The binder.
Look at the binder.
It
tells me who to put in.
Interesting little tidbit from Dan Shulman. And by the way, Dan and Hazel and Buck will have the call today.
Nice.
From the Bronx as the Jays start a three-game series against the Yankees.
They're not in the Bronx, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Where'd you think they were?
I
you thought they were in Buffalo?
No. I was talking about the.
Oh no, they're not
Hazel, Buck, and Dan.
Dude, if you don't know where Hazel is right now, then we got a real breaking story here. If you don't know what city Hazel's in,
I can text her and ask her where she's at.
Anyhow, although frankly, you know what? We should send them to New York for tomorrow's game because Alek Manoah will be pitching. So if ever there's any reason to break the pandemic, to break the seal on the border, as
it
were,
take your chances of getting back in.
Dan Shulman tweeted this out. Now, this is interesting. The Blue Jays have scored more runs during their six-game losing streak than the Yankees have scored during their six-game winning streak.
Yeah. That's not surprising. They're not doing it because of their offense. They're doing it, surprisingly, because of defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it. The Yankees can actually play defense.
They played really
well. They've had great pitching. Like Garrett Cole has basically said, it's me against the world, and the world's going to lose.
It's almost like somebody stepped on Gleyber Torres and went and pulled his head out of his ass. It really is. It's almost like that. What? It's almost like that.
Yeah, and Herman's been great, and who else? Jordan Montgomery's been really good. Garrett Cole's been great. Corey Kluber's been excellent.
Hey, can we talk about some depressing stuff before Eric Kratz joins us? All right.
Why stop now?
Bo Bichette. You knew I was going to drop this on you.
Yeah.
Bo Bichette this year against the Tampa Bay Rays is 2-for-33, 10 strikeouts, 2 walks. He was 0-6 in the playoffs. So my math, 6, there's nothing to carry there. So 2-for-39. He was 5-18 against the Rays last year going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the numbers suggest that he is seeing, not just from the Rays, the numbers suggest he's seeing a lot more hard pitching than he was. I mean, the Rays have had a game this year where they threw 70% hard stuff at him. On average, it's about 55.75 this series. They threw hard stuff at him. Last year, a couple of times, you saw the Rays, they threw a little more breaking stuff. They threw a little softer stuff. Are you seeing how much of what, and this is, listen, I'm never going to dump on Bo in this show. So this is not dumping on Bo. This is just pointing something
wondering.
Out. Quite frankly, I'm amazed his numbers are what they are, considering the fact he's basically been owned for 40 at bats by one team mm-hmm. this year. But is that something they're doing to him or something he is doing?
It's both. You know, you tip your hat to the Rays. The Rays got really good pitching. They got power. They pitch vertical. You know, there's not a lot of in and out. It's more up and down. And when you can do it with power and you can do it tunneling with a couple of different pitches and you're doing it from different arm angles, he has faced some lefties. He overswings a lot. His balance and timing are off quite a bit. Look, the overswinging and the falling across the plate, it's fun to look at. Wow, look at that. Well, you don't get cheated. Steve, rank one. It's a lot of that. Now, I'm not saying he's not great and he won't turn into being great and he gets George Springer back, takes a little pressure off. That could be something, too. You know, he is trying to carry the team and he does see his buddy that's sitting behind him who is absolutely just completely and utterly dominating baseballs. And you know what he wants to do.
Can we say this now?
Come to the party.
Can we say this now? Because he and Ronald Acuña are leading the majors in homers. We haven't seen that. I think it was the last time. I know it was Bryce Harper. The last time we saw two hitters this young lead the majors in homers. I'm going to throw this out there. Is the home run race on now? Is the home run race on?
Okay. Well, who will
Vladdy
have
better? Well, here
who
we go.
Will have better offensive numbers?
Here we go. Okay, here we go. The last time we had two hitters this young, 22-year-old Guerrero Jr., 23-year-old Ronald Acuña, tied for the major league lead. Or leading major league homers, July 2015. It was Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. Before that, you got to go back to 1993. It was Ken Griffey Jr. And any guesses to the other guy in 1993? Texas Rangers slugger? Juan Gonzalez. So this
I played with him in Winter Ball.
Why am I not surprised? You played with Eric Kratz in Winter Ball,
I did a lot.
You know who you've not played with in Winter Ball?
Who?
Alek Manoah. That little stat was from Sarah Langs, by the way, of MLB.com. So the home run is the home run race on now? Vladdy and Acuña, and Fernando Tatis is kind of sniffing around there.
Vladdy's had a little upper hand when it comes to the park he's playing in or played in. Look, that park down here is a joke. Ball flies to right, and when the wind's blowing out to left, it is just you shouldn't be, if you're a big league team, you should not be allowed to play there. It's just the way it is. Now, hitters, obviously, they're going to wait in line. Fighting, standing at the bat rack, can't wait to run up there because it's easy. You don't have to do a bunch. You just tappy, you get balanced, you're in an athletic position. You got a real good chance of hitting the bottom part of that baseball and getting a little bit of backspin. The wind's going to do the rest. Is the home run race on? I think Vladdy wants to be the best. End of story. Offensively, I think he wants to be Albert Pujols. I really realistically think that it is – what he goes home at night with the way he talks about batting practice. And then you go and listen to Albert Pujols talk about batting practice. Basically,
great point.
It's basically two exact people talking the exact same way. If I can perfect that part of it, because I have talent and everything else that goes into being just a tremendous hitter, it's going to carry over and it's just going to be easy. You see how easy his takes are. You see how basically his lower half looks like it's floating. It's rare now that you see him jumping at a baseball. Like that's not human. As hard as these guys throw, look at the Thompson home run he hit.
Yeah.
Like he was 4 days late on a heater, and you would think, no way that guy's going to throw him a breaking ball. Next pitch, he flips him on. It's a home run, a bomb, too. Humans don't do that. And the only way you do that is you have to trust what you're doing because you've done it over and over and over in batting practice. And you know if you're floating with that lower half the way he is now, the barrel's going to go where it should go and the ball's going to end up where he ultimately wants it to go. Again, I don't know what the limit is when it comes to talent and what his number's going to look like, but it's –
can you imagine, and this is why I said I'm not dumping them bow here. I'm just throwing this out. Can you imagine him between Springer and Vladdy? Can you imagine the damage he is? And Semien hasn't been in a soft either, but.
I'm not sure that's going to change the way Bo attacks an at-bat.
Is it going to change the way.
Bo is the guy that thinks I have three pitches to swing at.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to swing at those as hard as I can possibly swing at them, and hopefully I run into one.
All right.
If I stay inside the ball enough and I can stay balanced enough, again, he has two different leg kicks. He'll kick it and kick it a little higher depending on how fast the pitch is. And to try and get that down in an athletic position to recognize what kind of pitch it is consistently is going to be very hard. You have to have balance. You have to get off your backside when you got a leg kick that big. And you see it. The back foot always. That's not true. But a lot of the times when he struggles, it falls across the plate. Where's your barrel go? Where's the direction of your barrel going when you do that? It's a little bit more in and out of the strike zone than staying down and through it, and that's something he's going to have to work on. You can't – the big leagues, these guys are too good. They can spin it in too many places and elevate it when they want to elevate it, and they can stand you up when they want to stand you up in. You can't cover everything. He's going to have to figure that out. Will that help having George back? Probably, because George can get some big hits, and he won't have to think he has to carry the team. But there is that competition factor. I think I'm really good. I know I'm really good. But the guy hitting behind me is right now better than I am. And the guy that's coming back is real good, too, because he's proven.
Well, we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Eric Kratz, who, since his retirement from the game, has we know Eric's a funny guy. We've had him on a couple times. And again, we talked about he's a great teammate and all this. He's got himself in the news here a lot. He got himself in the news last week on Curtain Call on the YES Network when the conversation was about the Houston Astros science dealing scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I can tell you that a team that has been to the World Series often recently, we caught them doing something almost similar. Now, he wouldn't say who it was, but everybody just assumed it was the Dodgers.
Mm.
But Eric also said, same podcast, talked about the Colorado Rockies doing it. He said, and I can also tell you, because I don't really care, I don't know anybody over there, the Colorado Rockies were doing the same thing in 2018. They used to take a Theragun and bang it on their metal bench, and they were doing the exact same thing from the TV. So there you go. If you think no one else was doing it, you were wrong. The difference is the Astros may have taken it a little too far. That is Eric Kratz. Got a lot of people talking. And mentioned again, longtime major leaguer, couple of stops with the Blue Jays, one of John Gibbons' favorite players. Eric Kratz joins us next. All right, well, by my count here, I got 9 different teams for Eric Kratz in his major league career. And most recently with the New York Yankees last year. And we're looking back at the numbers. 2018, he had a good postseason in 2018 as well. I'm surprised, but it's worthwhile pointing out. We've had him on the show a couple of times before. I mentioned that if you asked John Gibbons, who was the player that he enjoyed working with the most.
Kevin Barker.
Yeah, he did not say Kevin Barker. He did not say Kevin Barker. But he used to mention Eric Kratz's name. And he used to just talk about him. And, you know, good spring training game. You'd finish your interview with John Gibbons, and if Eric had appeared in the game, he'd go, Kratz did something again today. He, as I said, we've had him on before a couple of times. He's always a pleasure to talk to. He is Eric Kratz. Eric, thank you so much for joining Barker and myself today. I trust you and the family are doing well and staying safe.
Yes, we are doing awesome. I'm actually getting in the carpool line to pick my daughter up. We're going to a softball game. She's 8, so she's getting into softball, but I want her to go see the high school team play. So this is exciting for me.
It sounds great, man. Hey, listen, the Jays are about to start this series against the Yankees, and we've talked about the big story here is Alek Manoah. I guess 1A, 1B pitching prospect is going to start Wednesday. Kevin, how many innings has he pitched in the minors?
35.
35 innings in the minors. He's going to be making the start at Yeah, he's making the start at Yankee Stadium. Look, you've caught a lot of guys making their first starts. What would you say to a guy? Never mind what you're starting at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. What would you say to anybody making their first start?
You know what? The biggest thing I always told anybody was just be yourself. They didn't call you up because they want you to be Jordan Romano, be, you know, the next Pearson. They don't want you to be Marcus Stroman. They want you to be Alek Manoah, however you say his last name. And that's the biggest thing. Like, hopefully that puts him in a spot where he's like, cool, I feel comfortable with that. Like, I can handle that. I can be that. Like, if you bombard somebody with some just like, you know what, Aaron Judge has 52 home runs and his power is off the charts and it's really not a good matchup for you, like, going through a whole scouting report, this kid's going to be like, what? Like, I just was pitching in college. I don't even know where he went to college, but,
West Virginia.
You know, it's just too much. You got to just be you.
Kratzy, how about right field? You know, he's a right-handed pitcher. He throws hard. He's 6'6", 260. He's not going to be intimidated. That's his little thing is, you know, I'm better than you are, and I have that demeanor on the mound and that kind of thing. But there is that little short porch in right field, right? And a bunch of those Yankee hitters like to stay inside the baseball and just flick it out to right. If you got a young guy making his first start there, how would you attack that side of it?
I would let him know that I've done all my work to put him in a situation to use his stuff so that they don't hit a pop-up to right that goes into the second row and, you know, Grichek or whoever's playing right field watches it drop in. And I think that's the biggest thing, and hopefully he trusts me that the game plan we put together is to his strengths and not to necessarily the hitter's weaknesses.
Eric, it's been a really strange year for the Yankees. Obviously, there was that sort of stuttering start. Now they've won six in a row. You know, there were issues with, people didn't think the starting pitching was necessarily good enough, and Gleyber Torres wasn't having a good start, and Stanton, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, you were with this team last year. I get the sense we don't know how good this Yankees lineup can be yet, do we?
I think that is a fair statement. I think, you know, everybody's guessing, and Pakoda and Fangraphs, they think they know how good they're going to be. But ultimately, it's going to depend on how do you make the adjustments from playing 60 games last year to playing all 162 this year. And it's not just for the Yankees. It's for the entire league. Like, how are the pitchers going to hold up? How are, you know, are Taillon and Kluber going to have an advantage because they didn't pitch last year? Yeah, they're rehabbing, but they might be fresher. You know, there's nobody really knows how it's going to go, but you do know that there's a lot of talent in both of those lineups. And I think offense, while it's down across baseball this year, is only going to improve. And Barker knows better than anybody that if you want to get better at hitting, there is so many things to get better at. And you can make adjustments as the season goes on. And the team that does that is going to be a team that takes the East for sure.
Okay, you talked about adjustments. You talked about pitchers being fresher. You think that has anything to do with all the no-hitters that's been thrown early in the season?
Well, I think if you go back and look at the fact that there's been, I think it's three teams that have gotten no-hit twice,
yeah.
there might be a correlation there.
Yeah.
So I think maybe those teams and maybe some of the other teams that are, you know, hitting so poorly as a team, I think they need to look at their approaches.
Mm-hmm.
But also they need to look at how, you know, their adjustment, it better go up because it's going to be historically low if a team hits below 200 as a team. And I think some of that's the organization putting guys in positions to succeed. If you put guys in positions to fill rosters, that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen.
Is there, Eric, such a thing as too many no-hitters?
Never. So you tell me, if there is such a thing as too many no-hitters, you tell me which pitcher threw that no-hitter that was too much.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And you go ahead and take it away from them.
That's a good point.
Okay, Kratzy, they talk about yell scream about nobody watching baseball and the pace of play and those kind of things. You see in the minor leagues, they're making the bases bigger, and they're talking about moving the mound back further to give hitters a chance. And, you know, you can't step off as many times and throw over the first and yada, yada. Is there any of those things that you think, because you're a catcher, you could see the field better than anybody. It's right in front of you. Do you think any of the things that they're trying to do would help?
Help with the pace of game or help just baseball in general?
Yeah, make it a better, you know, I guess they're trying to make the game better, and get you the better it is, the more eyes will watch. Do you think any of the things that they're trying to do make the game better?
It might, but you know what? They came out with mini golf after they came out with golf, and golf is still doing well. You know what? We have an opportunity to see the most talented players day in and day out in baseball that we have ever seen. Yes, you can say guys, you can argue guys used to throw hard too. I'm not arguing that. but 8 out of the 9 guys in the bullpen didn't throw 97 miles an hour. I don't care what radar gun you have. You know, hitters didn't hit the ball as far as they do now. I don't care what size the parks were or how tight the baseballs were. And so I think the game personally is on a cusp of a Tiger Woods type of moment that golf had, where golf was, it has changed. It has totally changed since Tiger, you know, first started playing. But what Tiger did for the game, I think baseball is on the cusp of having that because of incredible talent that is out there.
Hey, Eric, as velo increased in the game, and you had a perfect view of it because you were behind the plate, did it change the way you had to go about your business because guys were throwing harder?
I mean, offensively, it's what kept me in the game because I couldn't get a hit off of Bronson Arroyo, but I will definitely take an at-bat off of Chapman or Kimbrel. Mm-hmm. You know, the harder you throw, it's easier for me to hit. But catching-wise, yeah, it actually did. And I honestly sat down one time, and we were discussing how, you know, some teams were just going curveball, fastball high, fastball high. And I'm like, this is when I was first kind of coming in, and I'm like, you just called 3 pitches that are balls. All 3 of them were balls. First pitch, curveball in the dirt, first swing, and then chase pitch. And for me, that was like, it was unbelievable. Like, you are calling pitches that are balls. This is not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And over the time, hitters haven't made the adjustment yet. And so that would be like Greg Maddux saying, well, I'm just gonna sink this ball back door to a righty. And if they never call, if they call the ball 3 inches off a strike, why would I ever do anything else? I'm just going to keep doing it. So the pitchers are going to just keep doing this. And I think, you know, the high velocity, well, I'm not asking them to hit one spot. I'm just asking them to hit one general area. So I think pitchers with some higher velocity, and you see them crow hopping off the mound in their Twitter feeds and stuff like that, that kind of stuff, that's what you have to work with. That's who's getting called up. Mm-hmm. And so as a catcher, you have to call that. I can't say, you know what I need right here? I need a heater down and away and a ground ball to second, and we're going to get out of this. No, I have to think about the fact that it's going to take us 6 pitches to get out of this inning. And so it definitely changes it, but it changes it. It's an adjustment you got to make to have success.
Very quickly, before we let you run, we mentioned before the break some of your comments about the Colorado Rockies. Just wondering, is there, and possibly using the Theragun, banging it in the bench to steal, I don't know, steal signs or whatever, has there been any feedback from that? Has the commissioner's office called you or anybody called you to investigate that? Because, look, we've all talked about it. I mean, we've known stuff's been going on for years. Here in Toronto, they used to talk about the man in white in center field, and Joe Carrigan, when he was a Red Sox coach, was convinced the Jays had like 7 secret cameras, camera angles around the ballpark. Have you heard anything further on that?
You guys must have been the only ones to listen to the podcast. nobody's reached out to me. Parker must be a huge Eric Kratz fan. No, I have heard. You know, I have heard a lot of, you know, I've heard negative people saying, you know, this or that. And I've heard from, you know, from previous teammates that are, you know, supporting me in what I said. But, you know, they're still active players, so there's not – I think there's been a lot of back and forth with it, and that's what it's always going to be. There's always going to be back and forth. It's a news cycle. You guys are going to, you know, you guys are going to run it, and it's something that, you know, it ran and people heard it, and so it's what's exciting.
Eric, listen, man, we're going to let you run. Thanks so much for doing this. Continue to enjoy your first year outside of baseball, and we hope that we see your daughter at some point playing softball.
No, I appreciate that. I hope you guys stay safe up there in the north. It's starting to get really nice. And I do have to say that Kevin Barker stole signs. You know, they'd be laying on the side of the road and he'd take them.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
Big sign stealer.
I appreciate that.
Take care, bud. Take care.
See you, Kratzy.
Thank you for having me on, boys.
Eric Kratz. Was a great teammate. And you did steal signs. Stop signs. Yeah, one-way signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sign on the highway you slept on, and where was that, Montana, when you slept on the highway?
Yeah, the engine fell out of the bus.
Yeah,
stay hot. You think they cared? They pulled up the bus about 7:01. Go get them, boys. Wasn't no HP department telling me that you got to stretch past them. No, strap them all. Let's go.
You didn't have to stretch, man. You're sleeping on the road. How you should be. That? You should be good to go.
Good and loose.
The hell did you manage to find a stretch of road where there was no traffic?
None whatsoever. I have no idea. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Fun, see, I remember the fun. Stuff I remember, the stories you tell me that I remember. Anyhow, it's great to hear from Eric Kratz. Mr. Barker, we'll be back tomorrow.
You promise?
You know what? Tomorrow's going to be about all day. All day.